I know a little bit earlier when you guys were entering in, you should have, if you were older, received a bulletin. That says something about your age if you got a bulletin. If you were of the young crowd, you should have gotten some animal crackers because there were animals at the manger scene. This might be a good time to utilize them. Families that may be aware of that, I don't get offended by opened wrappers. My kids will be doing the same thing through much of the service together. We want to continue to celebrate the season and to celebrate what Christ has done through opening the scriptures together. And really at First United Methodist Church, throughout this whole month of December, we've been watching way too much TV at FUMC. We've been entering into the Christmas story by way of illustrating it through classic Christmas clips and classic Christmas movies, rather. And so we've been walking through this month of December with the Grinch. The Grinch told us an important lesson about heart health, and that is that we all suffer from a serious heart condition, the scriptures say. The human heart is wicked above all else, deceitful, and God reminds us that there's a need for a heart transplant, and the donor has been made available through the manger. We also covered Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer a couple weeks back. Rudolph was a misfit. It was a reminder of the misfit nature of Jesus the Christ, the one and only God-man, and it's that misfit nature that ends up saving the day, much like Rudolph ends up saving the day in the end of that holiday classic. And then we covered Frosty the Snowman awkwardly, because Frosty teaches us a lesson about sacrifice. And even through the puddles, that God does something through the puddles and through the sacrifice, that there was myrrh at the manger for a reason, reminding why Jesus lived to die ultimately on the cross in that way. We even covered the movie Christmas Vacation as Aunt Bethany gave us a lesson about grace. And grace being ultimately what's found in the person and work of Jesus. That he came filled with grace and truth, and from his fullness we receive grace upon grace. I'll say it again. We've been watching way too much TV at FUMC. And if I can give you a sneak peek, next Sunday we're going to watch one more clip. It's not going to be Christmas. It's going to be a movie in theaters that is actually a throwback as well that's going to help us bring in the new year together too. So we're not quite done yet. But if you can humor me for one last time, we want to cover one last clip of a Christmas classic. And this one's going to send us 15 years back to an elf named Buddy that teaches us some important lessons to keep in mind this Christmas Eve.
Now, before we learn how to build the latest in extreme graphic chipset processors, let's recite the code of the elf, shall we? Number one.
Treat every day like Christmas.
Number two.
There's room for everyone on the nice list.
Number three.
The best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear.
I think the elves were on to something with their little elf creed. I think the elves were on to something. And spoiler alert, if you haven't seen Elf in 15 years, it's your fault. It's worth spoiling at this point there. But spoiler alert, it's not just knowing and believing the creed that makes a difference in this movie, right? It's acting on that which is known and believed. Jovi, the elf, ends up having to take a public stand for what she believes, right? In Central Park, that closing scene, she belts out the words of the song of singing loud for all to hear that ends up saving the day in Central Park that evening. Sorry for the spoiler. You don't have to watch it this evening now. The elves, I'll say it again though, they were on to something with those three things. And I think those three things are scriptural things at what's at the heart of Christmas Eve, at what God was doing when he came in human flesh and blood through the person and work of Jesus that would be worth noting on this occasion together. And so if you'll humor me for the next 15 or 50 minutes together, we just want to outline together. Some of you think it's a joke, some of you don't. That's funny. We just want to outline what the elf creed was that gets at the heart of this Christmas creed, this Christmas faith, this Christian faith in that way. The first elf creed, treat every day like Christmas. Say that with me just so we're on the same parade. Treat every day like Christmas. Well, if we're going to treat every day like Christmas, we need to know what Christmas stands for then. And what is at the heart of Christmas is that Christmas is all about God's coming. that God would incarnate himself to live, to dwell, to walk, to be among us. If we're to treat every day like Christmas Day, it says something about God entering the scene and coming and living among us. And scripture is clear on that. John 1 would say it this way, the Word, it's a reference to Jesus himself, this incarnate, pre-incarnate eternal Word, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Yet again, in Matthew chapter 1, the birth announcement to Joseph, it said, all this took place what the Lord said to the prophet, a virgin will conceive, give birth to a son, and they're going to give him the name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Central to the scripture storyline, central to the Christmas message, is that God always wanted to have a place with his people. As a matter of fact, that's why he created us back in the beginning. He created us for relationship, to personally be known and to be known by us. God has always made us with relationship. And there's something about what this Christ child has done that opens up a relationship that was severed by sin to be reconciled now once again. Jesus would say it this way when he was staring at the cross, that conduit by which God would glue together this sinful, separated people from a holy God. Jesus said it this way in John 14. He said, if you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he's going to give you another counselor who will never leave you. He's the Holy Spirit. He leads all into the truth. The world can't receive him because it doesn't go looking for him. It doesn't recognize him. But he says to his followers, but you know him because he lives with you now and he will be in you. It's this work of this triune God of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Son being the glue that reconciles a holy God with sinful people and seals it by the person and work of his Spirit. The Holy Spirit that Jesus is talking about, that's going to be with us and in us as his followers, which he seals on another holiday, that Pentecost day in Acts chapter 2 of Scripture. It gives Paul the courage to pray this for his church. To pray this for the church in Ephesus. He says, for this reason, I bow my knee before the Father from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with the might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. What God has always wanted, what God has longed for, that had been separated in the Garden of Eden, but this Savior came announcing, this one born in the manger came manifesting, is that there is a way back to the presence of the Father. There's a way to treat every day like Christmas, like God has come in a personal way for his followers in the person and work of Jesus and his Holy Spirit. It's at the heartbeat of Christmas. It's why we can sing songs a moment ago. Hark the herald, the angels sing. Glory to the newborn king. Peace on earth, mercy mild. God and sinners reconciled. There's a reunion taking place because of faith and what Jesus has done. Point number two on the Elf Creed. Say this one with me too. There's room for everyone on the nice list. Did you know there's room for everyone on the nice list? Maybe the most iconic verse in the Bible, John 3:16, Jesus would say it this way, God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Get this, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Now I know some of us are reading that, maybe you've become so familiar with it that it's just become the background noise of our life and we don't recognize the significance of it. Or maybe some of us are reading that tonight with a layer of guilt and shame and we're thinking that can't possibly be true, right? That God so loved the world. Yeah, he probably loves the world except for me. Because if he had known what I had done, if he knows what glares at me in my past, he couldn't possibly love me. Yeah, he loves the whole world except for me. Or we think that the whoever is everyone else except for us. Maybe we come carrying a divorce in our past. Maybe we come carrying an addiction in our past. Maybe we come having cheated on our spouse or cheated on our business, just carrying anger, resentment, whatever it is that's in our closet. We're reading that verse and we're thinking, that can't apply to me because if God really knew me, he wouldn't love me like this verse says that he loves me. There can't be room on God's nice list for me. I'm here to tell you today that there is room on God's nice list for you. No matter what's in the past, no matter what skeleton's behind, there is a way to be reconciled to a holy God. And it's not because of what you've done, it's because of what he's done. That's what Christmas reminds us. He's at the heart of it, not us. And he came to reconcile sinners to a holy God because he signed that deal. He's made that space on his list, and he signed that deal with his own son's blood. God so loved the world that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life because of the work of the Son. God would say it yet again in this way. You must not forget this one thing, dear friends. 1,000 years is like a day to the Lord. A day is like 1,000 years. The Lord's not slow in keeping his promises. Some think slowness. No, he's being patient for your sake. He doesn't want anyone to be destroyed. He wants everyone to come to repentance. He wants everyone to come back home. He wants everyone to find their space on this book of life that he is writing. But don't misunderstand those words either. It says the day of the Lord will come. As unexpectedly as a thief, the heavens, they'll pass away. Terrible noise. The elements themselves, they're going to disappear in fire. The earth and everything in it will be found to deserve judgment. It's not masking that there isn't judgment in some way, shape, or form, but it's saying that God has paid it. And by faith, that is credited to our account if we take the faith in the Son. Once again, and lastly in this point, 1 Thessalonians puts it this way, God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is room on the nice list, no matter what's been done because of what he has done. Amen to that. Amen. Last point on the Elf Creed, and last today, say this one with me as well. The best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear. You see, because it's not just knowing the creed, right? It's not just believing the creed in some mental head game. It's obeying the creed. It's taking that step beyond it. It's Jovi standing up in Central Park and belting out, the best way to sing Christmas cheer is singing loud to all to hear. And so she sings a Christmas song that saves the day at the end of the L scene. In much the same way, it's not just mental gymnastics, this faith in Jesus. It's faith that moves to following Jesus. Scripture would put it this way in 1 John. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. How do we know we're following the lead of Jesus in our life? We're putting our faith in not just a mental thing, but a following thing. We're obeying. We're obeying. We're following if we're to make music, right? Making music. If we're making music, it means we're watching the conductor's leading of our life. And if our eyes aren't on the conductor, we're missing the rhythm of our life. We're missing our point where we put our song into life because we're not got the eyes on the conductor for life. That's what Jesus is referring to when we say we've come to know him if we obey his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but doesn't do what he commands is a liar. The truth is not in that person, but if anyone obeys his word, aka there's sheet music for this life. It's with the word of God. He's got some sheet music for us to follow. If anyone obeys his word, the love of God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know that we're in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. Gulp, right? That'll put a frog in the solo throat right there. To live as Jesus lived, does that mean we play perfect music the moment that we come to saving faith in him? No. Any of you guys music experts in there? I am enamored. I get the privilege of sometimes going to the schools and playing recess with the kids. And in between recesses, I get to hear fifth grade students start to learn music. It's the first entry level in Bellevue where they offer band class. You want to know what a fifth grader sounds like learning music? Yes, I won't repeat what some of the words were just shouted this way. You understand that. And yet I also get the privilege of sitting in the stands for like high school football games when those fifth graders turn into 12th graders. And all of a sudden they're not just making music, they're marching to music, they're dancing to music. It's a well-oiled machine to music. What's taking place there? Have they ever missed a note in from fifth grade to 12th grade? Yeah. When you play music, you're going to miss some notes at times. Maybe that's the good news to this verse, right? right prior to this verse, God reminds us that he's writing this so that we won't sin. But if we do sin, we've got an advocate, someone who's the atoning sacrifice, Jesus, who came to save the world from their sins. Our role in this is to repent, to not try to go hiding, but to openly confess to him that our sins. We're going to miss notes in life. That doesn't mean we're not playing the music at all. It just means that there is more to this music making than where we're at in this stage of the game. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to have sins. And yet through this, constant eyes to the conductor, keeping to the sheet music, practicing in that practicum of everyday life, we start to grow. We start to mature. We start to miss less notes than when we were in fifth grade. There's a process to this life of faith and this journey of following Jesus. And by the end of it, your story is singing a song that gives praise to the grand conductor of life. Your song is caught up in the heavenly song of those angels on that original Christmas night that say, "Glory to God in the highest, and on peace with whom his favor rests." Our music gets to make music with the heavenly music. We get to sing loud for all to hear. And that's the way to spread Christmas cheer, to spread this good news of Jesus together. We've got a song that I want to sing together. Because the elves were on to something, right? The elves were on to something, and that something isn't just a belief, but it follows in obedience. We've got a song to sing that reminds us, not of a Christmas carol, but of a life carol, that our song is meant to be lifted up in praise and worship to God. The song is called Life Song, and it's all along these lines that the best way to spread Christmas cheer is for singing loud for all to hear, and that our lives are that song, hence the name Life Song. I want to invite the worship team to lead us in that, and as they do so, I want to invite you to stay seated, but sing along, being reminded that we have a song to play. And it's a song ultimately of a Savior that's been born that has touched our life in an intimate way. Amen? Amen. Amen. Worship team, if you would lead us at this time. Before you extinguish your candle, let us remember what happened 2,000 years ago, a reading of that original Christmas found in Luke chapter 2. God's word reads this: "In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to be enrolled, each to his own city, and Joseph went up from Galilee to the city of Nazareth to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to be delivered. She gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in that region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. But the angel said to them, 'Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign for you. You will find that baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among whom his favor is pleased.' The angels went away from them into heaven, and the shepherds, they said to one another, 'Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger." That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. Amen? Amen. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Go in peace.